Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you are tuned in to Black Geek Movie Talk. It is Sunday, June 14th, and we're going to be reviewing Jurassic World today. I am your host, Yolanda, and I'm here with my co-host, Elise. Elise, you want to say hello to the people?
I do. Hello, people.
So today we're going to be talking about Jurassic World, and we're just going to get right into it, just right straight into it with a quick summary. For those that haven't seen any commercials or want a little bit more detail, I mean, but I think this summary is pretty straightforward. Wouldn't you say, Elise? I don't know what you plan to say, but what were you, just go ahead. What is this about?
So, first I'll say, directed by Colin Trevorrow, who the only thing I really know him from is he made a movie called Safety Not Guaranteed, which was like, it was a comedy, but it had a little bit of sci-fi stuff in it. Written by the director plus three other people, so that's four writers. And we're basically right back into the world of Jurassic Park. So the story opens, two young boys are going to see the wonder that is Jurassic World. The park is open. The dinosaurs are contained. Their aunt is some high-powered executive who deals with the park. So they fly out there, and kind of like the first exciting thing that happens is we learn that the scientists on the park have genetically modified the dinosaurs, because now the T-Rex, the Velociraptors, that's like old hat now. People are used to that. So in order to make things more interesting, they've created this new super dinosaur. We're introduced to Chris Pratt's character, Owen Grady, ex-Navy. He has a relationship with the Velociraptors. They're back. He's kind of like trained them now, so he has a special relationship with them. So they bring Owen Grady in to take a look at this new dinosaur they've created to kind of get his take on it. And, of course, you know, it's very ominous. The creature's been in captivity. She's not socialized. You know, this is a disaster waiting to happen. And that basically tells you what the whole movie is going to be about. So inevitably, the Indominus Rex, this genetically modified dinosaur, escapes. The two young boys who are at the park evaded their little nanny, and they're out in the park unsupervised. So Bryce Dallas Howard's character, who plays the aunt, teams up with Owen, and they have to go rescue the boys who are out in the park. Meanwhile, this Indominus Rex is making its way towards the resort area of the island where all the people are. So there's a little mayhem. There are a few, like, exciting scenes, dinosaurs, people running for their lives in a theme park. The Velociraptors come into play because they're going to use them to hunt down the Indominus Rex. But it turns out that the Indominus Rex has been part of his gene. They used part of the Velociraptor's genes to make this new dinosaur. So he's their new alpha, and the plan does not work. They can't use the Velociraptors to catch the big bad. So at the end, and this is a spoiler alert, at the end of the movie, Bryce Dallas Howard has a bright idea. We're going to use the T-Rex to save the day. So we see the T-Rex just like from the first movie, and he comes out and he saves the day. He rescues everyone, and that's basically it.
So let's talk about what sort of expectations did you have for this movie going into it? Like initially, you initially heard they would do another Jurassic Park, what was your feelings? And then once you saw the trailer, did your feelings change, or were they just strengthened by the trailer?
You know, I was excited. I knew it would be fun, if anything. I wasn't thinking it was going to be incredible, you know, because there's not much else you can do with the story. Yeah. So you kind of know what's going to happen. So I was like, well, this will be fun. I like Chris Pratt. It's funny. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
When I saw the trailer, same thing. I mean, I was like, oh, okay, this might be, this will be fun, if anything.
Yeah. I mean, I think that when I first heard they were doing it, my initial reaction was like, well, that's going to be a bunch of GOSA, like complete crap, because we've already visited Jurassic Park. Like, they're just mining, you know, they're just out of ideas, and they're just going back, you know, to our childhoods, and they're just mining our childhoods. That's what they're doing now. They're, you know, they're going back, you know, this trend, right, of, like, no original ideas. So let's just go back and see how we can rework the magic of previous, you know, decades of work, right? And so I was not excited at all. Then I saw the trailer, and the John Williams kicked in, and I got excited. Because John Williams, I don't care, you know, how you think about him in terms of craft or, you know, getting down to technical details, or if you think it's just a bunch of popcorn nonsense, John Williams is the only composer that creates moments in time. With his music, he has created specific moments in time that are representative of goodness and wonder and light. That's what John Williams does. So, anything attached with John Williams, I can't help it. I have an emotional, immediate reaction to it, and I was excited. And I'll also say this, in addition to the John Williams, I also like the cool look of the park. Like, it actually looked like something that we could all visit very soon, in the very near future. And, you know, like, the stuff like the kids in that, that like, sphere thing that was, like, running on nothing, like, that alone. I'm like, I want to ride that ride. Like, so, just seeing some of the things that they did at the park, I mean, it looked very, very, you know, now. Like, I would not be surprised if the folks who do the amusement park on that Universal are already dreaming up how they're going to recreate these rides that were in there. Like, I'm already ready to go. I'm ready to go. So that, I was excited by that. Okay. So let's get into this now. We both have mentioned a little bit about, I think it's hard to talk about this movie without talking a little bit about the original. I mean, we're not going to, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time talking about the originals, but I think it's hard not to, because if people were like me, like you or I, one of the things you're thinking about when you go to see this film is, well, where does this fit into the whole timeline? Like, why are we back here? I mean, didn't we, how does this fit into the timeline? I mean, I thought that we had already established that being around dinosaurs is bad. So why are we here? Like, how does it all fit into the timeline? So I will start by saying, to answer that question, the first film, Jurassic Park, was, you know, took place right before the park was about to open, right? But the dinosaurs were there in their containers. The park is getting ready to go, okay? And then mayhem ensues, right? The Lost World, the dinosaurs have been left to their own devices on this island, a secondary island. We're leaving them alone. Don't go there. But, of course, people decide to go there for whatever reason, if you want to rewatch it to remember. But that's basically that. The second one, there's no park. There's no even thoughts of a park. We're on the island where the dinosaurs roam with no containment, okay? The third one is kind of a repeat of the second, because they go back to the island where the dinosaurs are, and mayhem ensues. So Jurassic World, the tagline is, you know, the park is open. Now we get to see how mayhem ensues once the park is open. Like, okay, so clearly nobody learned their lessons. This is not this is not like a different Jurassic Park. This is very clearly, they make references to the priors. So it's not like this movie exists in a different place or time stream where the stuff that happened in the prior ones didn't happen. So that's very important to note. Because everybody knows. Everybody knows they exist in a universe where being around dinosaurs is bad. But they decide to go ahead anyway and open a park with human beings now. And what was the count? Like, what's the daily count? Was it like 20,000 visitors a day? Is that what it was?
Yeah, something like that.
20,000 people a day come, you know, and it's all fun and games and people clapping and glee and laughing. Yay, dinosaurs! And then, of course, by the end, people are screaming and crying and bleeding. Okay? So, yes. So it's, I feel like we have to establish that to talk about, you know, do you feel like this movie needed to be made? If it did need to be made, do you feel like they did a good job with what they did?
Well, I don't know if it needed to be made. I think the first three kind of told the full story, but it was, I mean, it wasn't unbelievable to me that they would, after the first park doesn't fail, it wasn't unbelievable to me that someone would try again. So I thought, okay, I can see that, like some billionaire investment person. Yeah, it's like, well, he didn't know what he was doing. I'm going to really, but I think this is it now. Like, I think as far as like a park goes, that idea is done. I don't think it's feasible for them to think someone else is going to come along and say, no, this time I really know what's going on. So I thought, okay. I can see that. People are greedy. Yeah, people are greedy. Dinosaurs are still fascinating. I can see someone coming along and saying, well, they didn't know what they were doing. I can do it right.
Okay. Because for me, I mean, I guess, I could kind of see that, but I feel like more time, like in the real world, and maybe this is, I'm being naive, I feel like in the real world, if there were real, this was actually going on, that more time would have had to have elapsed between the horrors of the last couple of outings with dinosaurs before a millionaire would come along and people would actually buy tickets to something like this. I feel like more than 20 years would have to go by because, listen, it's not like the people, if we're talking about like real life, the people who had the experiences the first couple of times out would be dead and gone and wouldn't be like, wouldn't have published books and wouldn't have been on Oprah and wouldn't have been, you know what I'm saying, talking about the horror. Like, they're still alive. They're still around when this Jurassic World is about to be up and running. And I feel like it would still be fresh in people's minds as it's still fresh in our minds. Like, I was sitting there through the movie and I couldn't help but thinking a few times throughout the film, like, when is, what's his name, Jeff Goldblum's character going to show up? When is Dr. Grant going to show up and be like, what's wrong with you people? Why are you doing this again? Did you not read my book? Did you not see my interview on Oprah? Like, people died. I saw people die. I'm not making it up. People died. So now you're going to open this park. And I don't care, like, you know what I mean? So for me, that kind of took away my, like, I couldn't completely suspend my disbelief. Do you know what I mean? That was still in the back of my mind because it's only been 20 years. That's not enough time for the people who experienced the first one to be dead and gone and, like, grandchildren and children of grandchildren. You know what I mean? So I feel like in real life, it would have to be, like, 60-plus years. Like, the people who experienced the first time around had to be dead and gone, and the memory of their interviews and their book be, like, done. Like, done before people would try to open a park or even buy tickets to this sort of thing. Something's going to go awry. It's going to go awry, people. We cannot, you cannot interact with the dinosaurs. Not in any kind of form or fashion can we do this. So, for me, if we're talking about failings of the film, that one would be for me just not possible for me to suspend my disbelief. That'd be one of the big failings. But like talking about like story, like if you could suspend belief, or disbelief, how do you think it's fared in terms of pacing, in terms of like characters, in terms of, I mean, because we know this is just a big popcorn film. This isn't like a character study. Nobody's going to win an Oscar for their portrayal of their naval
right.
officer who now trains velociraptors. Nobody, that's not what this is. This is popcorn, folks. So, so looking at it from that, how do you think this is a successful summertime popcorn thing?
I don't think it was very successful, and I think the biggest failing for me were the characters. And you know, I hate to have to compare it to the first one, but I will because the first one was a good movie. Like, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
You had the character of Hammond, who you understood the park was like a childhood dream for him, and then you saw that all crashing down. Like, that was a very nice arc for him, you know?
The
scene where he's eating the ice cream and he's talking to...
That was
interesting. And then you had the Dr. Grant, you know, who's kind of a curmudgeon, but he loves dinosaurs.
Yes.
And he, you know, when he sees the dinosaurs for the first time, there's this wonder on his face, you know, and John Williams' music swells up. And then he goes, like, through an arc where he's... Well, one, he realizes that he's not, he's softer than he thinks he is. He starts to have a relationship with the kids, you know?
Right.
And then you have Jeff Goldblum's character, you know, who from the beginning is like, this is not going to work. That was interesting. And then it's like, I told you. In this, it was like, Chris, okay, so he was in the Navy. Why the hell does he care about dinosaurs? Why is he here? They tried to, like, show that he had some connection with the Raptors, but I was like, why? He's just a dude. Who cares? I mean, he doesn't care. This isn't emotional for him.
And then they
tried again with Bryce Dallas Howard. They tried to show that she had softened towards the end, but it wasn't done well, you know? She's supposed to be this, like, very in control, like, what is it, type A personality, and we're supposed to, you know, think that she goes to this transition, but she really doesn't. The relationship with her nephews or whatever is doesn't really change, or there weren't enough scenes to show that it had changed. There weren't enough scenes to show that she had, like, softened towards the animals, the dinosaurs. You know, she calls them assets in the beginning of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm,
it was just, for me, it was the characters. Nobody was really interesting.
Chris
Pratt, they had a couple of shots of him with his brow furrowed, and I was just like, this is ridiculous.
He was just like, to me, was just like walking, like he came on the screen, he would just come on the screen a couple of times, and I was like snickering, because he was so, like so machismo.
Such a cliche.
It was like he was pounding me over the head with his physique and his whole I'm the blah blah blah. I like him, not that I dislike him, but it was like too much. And then the Bryce Howard person, she was just a piece of wood. She was literally a piece of wood with red hair and was distracting to the point of, like, distraction. I didn't believe, I just felt like she wasn't invested in that character, if you can call it a character. I didn't get anything from her that I could connect with or relate to or be like, you know, it's like the two of them were just like, I am the male lead. I'm the white male lead. Oh, I'm a female white lead. Like caricatures of those archetypes. Oh my God. And then Vincent D'Onofrio. What can we say about Vincent D'Onofrio, whom I love with a passion, I love him since Law and Order. whatever, I don't know. It's not SVU. It's something else. Yeah. But I've loved him since that, okay? And now in Daredevil, what he's doing in the Netflix Daredevil. But then he showed up, and I felt like it wasn't even Vincent D'Onofrio. I felt like it was somebody wearing Vincent D'Onofrio's skin, but not Vincent D'Onofrio. I don't know. I'm not sure what happened there. But he was also a caricature. Caricature kind of villain. Because dinosaurs are just things that we can use. Like what?
Right.
What were you going to say? You sound like you had a moment.
Yes, and then, okay. What I thought was just really poor writing was the whole Vincent D'Onofrio storyline, the whole idea that the military wants to use dinosaurs as weapons. That's ridiculous.
Right?
Why would you send wild animals?
Yes.
I don't care if they are trained. Why would you send wild animals with the kind of technology that it would make more sense if they would say, okay, the technology you used to bring the extinct dinosaurs back to Earth, we want to take that to build, like, super soldiers. That makes more sense to me than the government, the United States military, saying we will use dinosaurs to fight wars. That didn't make any sense.
It didn't make sense.
Okay.
It did not make sense at all. Yeah, it just became to me, I mean, in a nutshell, this just became to me like a big, these big, I don't know what the right word is. I don't know if monster movie is right, but sort of like in the vein of like Pacific Rim or Godzilla or, what's another one? Like those big mashups, you know, you know, it just became a big monster fest, and there was no wonder. There was no wonder. There was no magic.
No,
there was no, you know, the discovery of the, you know, I hate to say it, but here again, you open yourself up to this when you call your thing Jurassic World, and you're saying it's part of that same universe. Didn't have that magic of the first one. And now I'm remembering a question that I just had while I was listening to you. Do you think that part of the reason why this is not as well done as the first one is because the first one, if I'm not mistaken, and you tell me if I'm mistaken, if the first, because the first one is based on an actual book. Like it's actually derived from an actual, this is the story, and now we're going to transfer it to the film. And I know, I think it's like loosely based, because I remember I remember our father saying, oh, that's not really what the book was about. They kind of sillied it up or whatever. But still, they had these characters and this world that they could pull from to create. So they had this strong base from where to begin. And this one didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
This one is just pulling stuff out of people's butt behind. And that's why you have things like, you know, the caricature villain and the caricature male lead and the caricature female lead. Do you think that's maybe why this is not so good?
I think that could be part of it. I don't know. I don't know if this one, I think Michael Crichton wrote sequels to Jurassic Park, but I don't know if this was one of them.
I don't think this was one of them. I think that The Lost World was one of the sequels that he wrote. And now I'm just talking. I could be completely wrong. I should have looked this up. But I don't think that he had written one where the park was open. Because if he did, I have a hard time believing that he would write characters like this flat and uninteresting. I don't know. So, okay, we've got 4 minutes left. Was there anything, any saving grace, anything that you feel like they did well in this?
Well, I mean, using John Williams' music was good. And, you know, I will say when they, you know, nostalgia is a very strong emotion, and I think that they tapped into that successfully. There were several moments where I was like, oh, like that reminded me of the first one, you know,
When they did what?
There were just several moments. I mean, I think there was like an exact shot of the T-Rex that was from the first movie. And then when you saw the Jeeps from the first movie and then the little like view scope that the little kid had in the first movie, all of that was
okay.
Like, oh, and then when Bryce Dallas Howard uses the flare to,
right.
Like all of that was happening. Yeah. That was all like, oh, here you go. That was a little present for people who remember the first one.
So basically, you don't think it had anything good about it because to you, all that was good about it was references to the first film. That's basically
those are cleverly done. They could have been stupid. They were cleverly done.
All right. I'm going to actually have a positive thing to say. I liked the way that the park looked, and I kept wanting to visit it, even knowing, like, something like it, you know, not where my life would actually be in danger, but I just, I just thought that was fun. You know, it's summertime, and, you know, references and seeing, like, an actual park. And I think I looked over to you once and was like, can you imagine if this would have happened while we were at, like, Universal or something? Like, there's been instances I like the look of it. I like, you know, the reminder that we're probably going to be able to ride these rides in the not-so-distant future. I mean, if anybody's got any kind of sense at Universal, they are looking into how they can recreate, especially that ball ride where you get in the ball.
Yeah.
And ride around. Oh my God. I cannot wait. I need to ride that ride. But again, I don't want my life to be in peril. So with that said, I guess we can rate this now unless there was something else that you wanted to add.
No, that was it.
Okay. So 0 to 5 stars, 0 being the absolute worst, 5 being like going back in time and watching the first Star Wars. What would you give this?
I'm going to say, I'm really sorry to say this, but I mean, it was fun, but I'm going to have to give it 2.5. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
It just wasn't.
Right.
Is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But 2.5.
I mean, I don't think it's any big surprise. I mean, I'm giving it 2.5 because I think it could have, I thought it was going to be a lot worse, actually. I thought it was going to be absolute, I want my money back. And it actually was. I mean, it had its fun moments. Hey, I'm not going to lie. I was thrilled when they got the T-Rex out and the T-Rex and the Velociraptor were fighting the monster dinosaur. Like, I was, like, gleeful and fun. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's part of the show where we talk about what we're doing next. Geez, Elise, I bet you have no idea what we're doing next. Do you?
I don't know what we're doing next. What are we doing, Yolanda?
We're going to be reviewing Terminator Genisys, another film that is a throwback and trying to recreate our past childhood. And that'll be, I don't know when that'll be. But stay tuned. It'll either be July 5th or it'll be July 4th. So with that said, thanks for tuning in. Have a great week, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.